This 17th Choose This Day Bible study guide is called Radical Transformation. What is this radical transformation that God longs for us to receive? It is part of His salvation message. Jesus died for our sins to separate us from those sins, that we can partake of His victorious life. And the question is, how do we partake of it? Is this a real thing? And of course, it is. So the links to the notes are in the description of this video. And please follow along with me as we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, which is the mind or will of Satan, but we have the spirit which is of God, or the mind, the will, the purposes of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. And we know that the Holy Ghost speaks through the words that are penned through the prophets, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the Bible makes it clear that we can have the mind of God, not the mind of the world. We can have the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the world. James chapter 1, 23 through 25 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. He looks at himself, or he beholds himself, and he goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So God is asking us not just to see what He has said, but to actually take it and make it part of our lives by our own choices. You see, when I read, "Thou shalt not steal," in God's commandments, I can choose not to steal, or I can give way to my carnal desires and I can take that which is not mine. And so it's really up to us. We have the ability to choose. And if we choose what is right, God has promised to give us the power to fulfill the law within our lives. This is not about us. It's about Christ in us. Genesis 3:15 says, "I will put enmity or hatred, a disinterest, between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This verse is actually the first prophecy that's given in the Bible for the Messiah. It says, "I will put enmity or hatred between you, serpent, and the woman," which is Eve and her children, "between your seed and her seed," the children. There's going to be a hatred between the children. "It," the seed, "will bruise your head, serpent, and you will just bruise his heel." This verse is actually the first prophecy given in the Bible that's foretelling the Messiah. So there would be hatred or enmity between the serpent and the woman, which is Eve, and all of the children that would come from her. It would be a hatred between the serpent's children and her children. That would include you and me. We're either part of the enemy's seed or the seed of the woman, which would be, of course, representing the church. So the seed would bruise the head, which is a deadly wound to the serpent. And the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed. Now that seed, according to Galatians, is Christ. Just yesterday, I was out in the woodpile, and when I was moving a tarp from over the woodpile to try to organize the wood, there was a small rattler. And yes, it had only one little rattler on the back of its tail. And when I'm around, those things don't live. I don't like snakes, especially poison ones. And so I bruised its head, and that snake no longer lives. And so that's the idea here in this prophecy, is there would be a bruised head upon the serpent. And in this bruising, in this victory that Christ had been foretold to have, we can have that same victory in Him. Let's read a little bit about it in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in that seed, which is Christ Jesus." These people that don't have condemnation, they do not walk after the flesh, like the serpent's seed, but after the Spirit, which is Christ's seed. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through our flesh, through human flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, yet partaking of the divine nature as well, and for sin, He, Christ, condemned sin in the flesh. And that's how we are enabled with the divine nature, being partakers thereof, to also have victory and condemning sin in the flesh, so that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but we follow after or walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, they have in their mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit, they have in their minds the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to have a spiritual mind by choice, to fill your mind with the spiritual things of God, is life and peace. I'm hoping my comments in that section of the Bible will be helpful to understand a little bit more of what's being said there, and also what's not being said. 1 John 3, verses 4 through 7, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin fulfills an action. They transgress also the law, because sin, which is a noun, is the verb or transgression of the law." So sin is a verb. Sin is transgressing the law. "And ye know that He was manifested," Christ was, "to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abides in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He," or Christ, "is righteous." And how? How is it that if we are doing righteousness, we are just as righteous as Christ is? Is it because we can fulfill righteousness in our own lives by choosing to have a righteous life? Absolutely not. You see, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So if we allow Christ and His mind, His Spirit, His purposes, His will, revealed through His Word, if we allow Him to be in our lives, then we will be actually fulfilling His life over again. It will be His life lived out within us. You know that old song, "Live out Thy life within me, O Jesus, King of Kings." And that's what we're talking about here in this section. Christ can be in you through His mind, through His will. Your will become His will, and you will be blessed. Matthew 19, 27 through 30. "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed Thee. What shall we have therefore? Well, Jesus answered him, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration," that's in the regeneration of our hearts, our lives, the transformation, "you that have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of His glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You can read about a similar situation in Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." So Romans chapter 12 explains a little bit more about following Christ, receiving the blessings that He has offered. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," just like Christ had been telling Peter in the last few verses, "being holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Notice it says that you will be renewed in your mind. Our minds must be renewed. We must have new thinking, new purposes, new desires, new motives. And this is Christ in you. How is that done? but by accepting what God has given you through His Word. If His words fill our minds, and if we choose in accordance with His Word, His will, His desires, we have the Holy Spirit. Leviticus 10:9-12. Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons, with thee when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that you may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. This verse is actually speaking of some of the young ministers that were in the tabernacle at the time. They had partaken of some wine, and they weren't able to partake in their minds. They weren't able to tell between that which is holy and that which is unholy, or that which is profane and that which is pure. And as a result, God actually struck them down. So we need to be serious about keeping our minds pure and clear without the things of this world so that we can partake of the blessings that God has offered to us. And we can share in wisdom and understanding the truths that we've ourselves learned from the Word. Leviticus 22:31-33 says, "Therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord, neither shall you profane my holy name. But I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallow you," or make you holy, "that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord." And so God makes it clear that we are not to despise or profane the things that He has offered us. Remember, last time we talked, there is something He called holy. Our minds are to be holy. Our minds are to be filled with pure things. God has said His tithe is to be holy. We also read in Ezekiel 22:8, "Thou hast despised my holy things and hast profaned my Sabbaths." God wants us to honor the things that He's given to us. He wants us to know and understand what to call pure and what to call impure. And so may our minds be sharp. May our minds be wise. May they be understanding. Ezekiel 44:23 says, "They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between unclean and the clean." So you can see that pastors are supposed to understand the difference between clean and unclean. Pastors or ministers are supposed to teach the difference between clean and unclean. And so as we read for ourselves, we should be able to discern what is right, what is wrong, what is holy, what is impure. So Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And so when we are baptized, when we surrender to God, and we are buried with Christ in baptism, the promise is that we will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This Holy Ghost, the word ghost shouldn't be like the understanding of some disembodied spirit. That's not what the word means at all. It's pneuma, it's breath, it's wind, it's a cognitive mind. And so when we receive the life that God has offered when we're baptized, the gift of the Holy Ghost, we will have pure minds. We will be brought into the experience of being part of the family of God. And so that's what He's asking us to do, is partake of this blessing that He's promised and offered through the gift of His Spirit, through the gift of this radical transformation. Titus chapter 3:3-7 also talks about this transformation. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, we were disobedient, we were deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. We were living in malice and envy, we were hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And so we've been justified, we've been renewed, His mercy has saved us. And what does this all bring us to? It brings us to the point of being sons and daughters of God with clear, pure thinking minds that will be able to think rationally and intelligently when it comes to making decisions in this world. We will be able to treat our bodies in the most healthful way. We will be able to dress appropriately, keep God's time and days holy. We'll be able to understand the differences between what is right and what is wrong. And it says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8, we are not to be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, just like we talked about the tomatoes last time. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so the best counsel I can give to you is for you to take time for yourself to open up God's Word, to study what He says. These words are spiritual, and they will bless your mind with spiritual concepts. And that's why I'm so thankful that we can have the principles laid out in the 1889 fundamental principles that help us understand this idea of a radical transformation. It says in the 17th fundamental principle that as the natural or carnal heart is at enmity with God and His law, this enmity can be subdued only by the radical transformation of the affections, the exchange of unholy for holy principles, that this transformation follows repentance and faith, is the special work of the Holy Spirit and constitutes regeneration or conversion. My desire, having been converted some many years ago in 1996, I want to keep continuing on this experience of being converted. I keep reading God's Word. I keep praying. I keep sharing my faith. And as a result, God continues to bless me with His Spirit, His mind, His purposes, His wills, His desires. And do I mess up? Of course I do. But it's not my desire. I want to follow God 100%. And I'm hoping you want to do the same thing. So thank you for continuing to study with us at revelationwithdaniel.com.